You're listening to the Bible teachings from our Christ in Singleness Conference. For more info, please visit our website at realitystockton.com.
Hi. You guys awake? I typically leave before the last session at a conference almost every time. So I'm blessed that you're here today. Super humbled to be able to share on this topic. I know it's probably like when you think of a singleness conference, like one of the big hot buttons for Christians, obviously dating. What does it look like? When, how, why, who? And so we've been blessed just with our marriage, our dating kind of history, and being able to pour into other young believers as well. So, and I was extremely blessed to have people pouring into me during that period as well when I was single dating. So we just want to kind of share some of the experiences. There'll be a small part of it where we'll be teaching, or I'll be teaching, and Amanda's going to kind of give practical application to a lot of things and how it manifested itself in our life. So let me pray, and then I will have Amanda's actually going to share kind of our dating story briefly and how it all went down. Cool? Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you are good today. Thank you just for the reminder of our engagement to you, the looking forward to that day of the marriage supper and the feast, and getting to be with the faithful groom. And so we praise you for that, God. We ask that you would continue now to just reveal through your word, through experience, through your wisdom, who you are, how that manifests itself in our lives as married people, as single people. And we just want to be encouraged by your spirit today. So just thank you for this incredible opportunity. Extremely humbled before you. Shut our mouth where it needs to be shut and open it where it needs to be open. We love you, Jesus, and praise you in your name. Amen. This is my wife, Amanda.
Oh, hey. So I had some notes, and we went home for lunch, and I left them on my counter, so bear with me. Chris and I have been married for 7 years now, next week. And I just wanted to share a little bit of our dating story, because we believe that transparency is important. So I'll just jump into that with my lack of notes here. So just kind of a background on our individual stories before we met. Chris grew up in the church and was always kind of surrounded by a great community of believers, kind of grew up a little bit more in real strict, some would say legalistic community of believers, but still had a great foundation and amazing parents who kind of just shepherded his heart in dating, and he really had an amazing just testimony of knowing what was important and foremost and vital in dating. And I grew up, I kind of went to church with the neighbors and always loved the Lord. And I know the Lord's hand was always on my life from the time I was very young. But no discipleship, no regular church attendance in my family. So never really had my heart shepherded towards what was most valuable in dating and in honoring the Lord. And so that kind of manifested itself in me seeking companionship and affection and just that feeling of being cherished in human relationships. I had a little bit of sexual abuse in my childhood, which also, again, kind of skewed my view of sex and kind of made it like, you know, just the physical companionship made it kind of something that was, for lack of a better term, like fun in a naughty way, kind of like a concealed, private, hidden thing. So I did, I mean, it wasn't terrible, but I did seek sexual things in relationships before I met Chris. And he had abstained from all of that. So after college, I really felt the Lord sensing me to just seek him and to know him and make him ultimate in my life. And so long story short, I started attending a church that Chris he was away at college at the time, but we ended up meeting at that church. And it was just an amazing story of the grace of God and just kind of us coming together, for me anyways. And him too. But I remember meeting you in the aisle at church. Okay, I'm going to be quick. So anyways, it was just different. You know, it was different. It was the first time me really dating in a church context and taking account the wisdom of the Lord. And so our relationship started as a friendship, and we liked each other, and we were serving alongside each other at church. We were attending the same community group at the time, and just decided that we wanted to pursue that relationship, and so kind of sought counsel on both sides with the community of believers that we were surrounded by at the time. And then on November 8th, 2005, I don't know why I remember that date, but Chris had me come over his house and took me on a walk around the block, and we hadn't like kissed at all. We hadn't been super romantic at this point, and he said that he was committing to fight for my heart and pursue our relationship towards marriage, and just really stated his intentions, which I had never even heard of or experienced, I should say, in my life, which was awesome and amazing. So we dated for about a year before we got engaged, and then we were engaged for 6 months. And in that dating experience and engagement experience, we had a really awesome time of just being involved in community. And do you want me to go? Okay. All right. We'll talk about that more later. Yeah, just incorporating transparency and accountability, and both of us just practically really doing some of the things that we talked about as far as going into married couples' homes and sort of just gaining those skills prior to being married. So anyways, I'm being cut off.
I did not cut her off. This is really fun for us because as a church, we're going through marriage series right now if you're a part of Reality Stockton. And so to be able to kind of shift gears, you know, our community group every, the last 4 weeks have been marriage. I have a community group primarily made up of singles that I've just been pushing back. One, on the conference, Joel Munoz is here. And two, just in community group, even just like, oh, marriage, like, do we esteem the value of marriage? We're like, no, I don't know. I might be single, whatever. So there's a problem in our culture right now because, or at least in our Christian context, because there's some people that have a desire to be married, and there's some people that maybe don't desire to be married due to long-term singleness, bitterness, hurts, wounds. There's tons of different reasons. So we're mindful of that. But this, obviously, one, is aimed at believers, this specific session, and it's aimed at those who are saying, I want to marry. And so, you know, that's kind of the framework that this is within. It, you're saying, or we're assuming that marriage is something you desire, which we know is a good thing, as well as singleness. So dating, what is dating? I'm an interactive kind of person, so I need engagement. I need participation, and I'm also hard of hearing, so you got to speak up real loud. What is dating? Like, does anyone have a definition of what dating is?
Getting to know another person in a social setting where it's just...
Getting to know another person in a social setting alone, one-on-one. Anybody else? Add to that, take away from it. What is dating? Your experience of dating. Is dating an activity or a status? Like, we're dating. What did that mean? If I said we're dating, what would you assume that meant? That's a status? So what would we do if we were dating, though, that you wouldn't do if you're not dating? What do we do if we're dating? We go on dates, right? So we have the hardest part. That's true. We go on dates. I go on dates with people all the time, though, right? So what's the difference? Like, me and Christian have lunch dates. I have Thursdays with Matt Boga, one of my team leads. Typically, me and Aaron have a date night. You know, me and my wife have a date night. Me and Joel go to the top. So there's tons of things we do that are dates. Like, a date is just a day on a calendar. That's a date. So the hard part is even trying to find a definition, as you can see. So let's go to the Bible, right? So, like, we'll just look at the Bible. Let's look at some of the dating couples. And so I would just refreshing on like Old Testament, you know, and I came across the story of Jacob. So there's Jacob who married, he desired Rachel, right? And then ended up with Leah, the ugly one, the sister. It's biblical. It said she was not of fond appearance. So we take He served the dad for literally 7 years. Wedding night, that big ceremony Christian talks about, they send in the ugly older sister. So then he's like, no, that's not the one I wanted. He said, well, serve another 7 years, you can have Rachel. Doesn't really seem like a context that fits our approach to dating now in our day and age. I don't, you know, 7 years would be a long time, as much as I love my wife, to not only wait, but work for 7 years to be married. Ruth and Boaz, one of my favorite stories, the kinsman redeemer. So then the story of Ruth is her husband dies. She's a widow, goes to the in-laws. Naomi says, there's that man Boaz, you know. Literally, you can look it up. For the sake of time, I'm going to jump. She says, wait for him to eat and drink. Sneak into the bottom of his bed. Lay there. He'll notice you. You know, tell him to buy your land. Somebody, he offers another gentleman to, like, buy her parcel of lands and things. And he says, no, I can't. So Boaz is like, okay, I will. And I get Ruth as my bride as well. So not really another kind of story of like, okay, let's work up and I'm going to apply that to my life and my dating. Hosea and Gomer, who basically God told the prophet Hosea, go marry that prostitute. So I don't think that really fits. And then she leaves, has kids with her. People come back and forth, just this gnarly, you know, illustration and metaphor of our relationship with Christ as the faithless bride and whoring ourselves out to other lovers. Literally is what that one's about. So we don't really get, and you know, in the early Old Testament, it's like, oh, they took themselves a wife. They went and got a wife. You know, typically it was arranged, or the family said, you know, like, okay, you're going to marry them for our social, for your economic well-being and just for our social benefit, you know, have money, land, animals, things like that. So it's hard to make a definition biblically because dating is not in the Bible. You know, Mary and Joseph is basically a shotgun wedding, right? Like, oh, I'm knocked up, even though it's not yours, but we're going to get married now. Like, so there's so hard to literally, like, I don't know. It's the grace of God that people date and get married and stay married to this day, even like married couples. Like, there's just so much in between a friendship and a marriage. And so Pastor Christian bought this book. It's called Sex, Dating, and Relationships. I believe do we have it at the table over there? So some of the main concept for this I took from it is there's three clear definitions for male-female relationship. Because I think that's really where we get in trouble. So there's the family, you know, obviously brother, sister, mother, son, you know, you have family. There's the spousal or the marriage. And then literally everything else is almost neighbor. I'm sure you might find some loopholes, you know, like, but I mean, David and Bathsheba, she was a neighbor, literally. He's like looking over the fence at this woman, even though he was married. So there's literally three classifications for the male-female relationship and their interaction. And then briefly, sexually, what that means is it was prohibited with your family. You could look at Leviticus. You weren't allowed to have sexual relationship with your family once God ordained the law. Obviously, Adam and Eve, their kid, probably had to do something, right, for that line to keep going. It's weird, I know, but it's true. And then you look at the marriage. Obviously, sex is allowed in marriage. It's encouraged. It's commanded, even. But then your family, like brother and sister. So the extreme would be in dating, right? You treat everybody like your brother or sister. I have an older sister. We go on dates. Like, she worked. She lived in Lodi. When I'm in Lodi for work, and we go on coffee dates. We check in with each other's days, things like that. So there's, you know, there's elements of a brother-sister getting to know one another. So in our day and age, it doesn't look like that, right? Like, there's these muddy, blurry lines, you know. Like, for some people, I remember in my past, you know, that I was an athlete. I was just telling the guys. So, like, guys would hook up, right? That's what they did. I can vividly, so, like, Amanda kind of, like, always elevates it, but I have a past, too. I was moral and legalistic. So I made my own boundaries and said, I'm going this far. So it's true. I was technically a virgin by never having sexual intercourse before marriage, that everything up to there would just kind of like hit or miss how I felt that day, literally. And so I would say things like hooking up and literally mean like kissing. For other people, like hooking up meant, you know, the full on deed and everything in between. And so our culture and day and age has like all these lines. Like, for some dating couple, there's Christians maybe even in this room, I would imagine, that all have different boundaries physically for, you know, guy, girl, you know. I don't think we didn't kiss or hold hands till we were officially dating. And so that was 3 months of friendship, 3 months of like kind of more intense friendship. And then we officially became boyfriend and girlfriend. We had the DTR, you know, defining the relationship and all that fun stuff. So the problem with having no clarity and having no specific boundary, I'll give you these are the ones I thought of. The problem with our culture's idea of dating, a trail of tears. By far the worst, the most damaging part of our marriage early on was having to deal, even in our dating relationship, was having to deal with everything that had happened to my wife and everything that sins I'd committed up until we met each other. So typically with no clarity, no boundaries, two people are going to come together and have these crazy past or different past that lead up to this, you know, emotional attachments, physical attachments from this line of people that they dated, right? Another one is there's no end in sight. So for like dating, typically in our culture, like what's the end in sight? Like, oh, we're dating. Oh, that's cool. Like, so where are you going? Like, what's the game plan? No end in sight. Lack of commitment. Do we as believers feel like there has to be more? Or is that just us? Do you guys feel like there should be more to this? Like, dating's got to be better than this. No? Yes? Right? I hope so. Like, you're looking forward to, like, a blessed marriage, a marriage that is fulfilling in a way that not obviously that Christ can fulfill. But there's got to be a better way to get from friendship to marriage than dating 17 people and having different boundaries up with each person. So then by the time you get to spouse, you have this long trail of just damage and hurt and pain that we all experience that by God's grace he redeems and forgives and loves, but we still have to deal with the very real consequences. So in our experience, in our life, I've come up with three that we'll go through real quick. Three keys to dating, or a really nice and easy and I think a helpful way to put it is redeeming our time of singleness. So three kind of tips to redeeming our time of singleness. So if you'll go with me to Song of Solomon, the book that Christian referenced, I'm going to use it. And we're going to be in chapter 2. And my Bible doesn't want to open to it. There we go. If you recall, Christian referenced this book, this great book of poetry and love and all that fun stuff, very graphic. So I'm going to read chapter 2, or the first half of chapter 2. I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. And then the male says, as a lily among brambles, so is my love among the young women. Then she, which would be the lady, it's her wedding night, as an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. With great delight I sat in his shadow, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Sustain me with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am sick with love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem. So now she's addressing probably her maidens that were attending to her. By the gazelles or the does of the field, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. Such a vital piece that we often forget about in dating is that in marriage, in that pursuit of marriage, that desire to be married, that it's in God's timing and that there's a readiness to it. And so I think that, you know, I barbecue a lot. I'm good at it. So I understand, you know, if you don't believe me, you can. Odin, he's close. We can go back and forth, but Odin's amazing barbecue as well. My favorite is the charcoal, right? So you take this charcoal. You have to light it on fire initially, whether you use lighter fluid, newspaper, it lights on fire. It initially ignites. It's a flame, and it's going. It's hot. You can't. It's not ready, though, right? Like, or at least if you don't know this, you can't actually cook the meat while all the flames are there. You have to wait for the coals to actually get hot because the flames are just it just makes it look like it's hot because it's fire, but really It gets really hot when the coals are ready. So what happens if you put the meat on while it's just flaming? It's going to burn, right? The whole thing, the meat, the outside will burn. It won't cook. It's not ready. If you wait too long, then the coals will be burned out. And I think it's a beautiful illustration if we can look at a readiness to dating and if we're willing to search our own hearts at what the emphasis and the point of dating is. Dating, for us as believers, I'm not going to make a ton of bold statements and overture, but the one I'll make is, as believers and young, old, new, long-seasoned veterans in the Christian walk, dating is for marriage as believers. That's what, like, we don't date to get to know people. You can get to know people in your community group. You can get to know people. I mean, dating in our culture's eyes and view is not to get to know people. I'm all for getting to know someone. I'm not saying a guy and a girl can't go get to know each other. But dating, the emotional attachment, the giving of yourself to another person should be in line in preparation to spend your life with that person. If you can't get or desire to get to that point, ultimately it's that trail of tears. They're just going to be let down. There'll be expectations that will never be met from a guy or a girl that literally we just can't live up to. My wife is amazing. On paper, like, please kill your list, by the way. Like, all those lists you have, like, my wife has her master's degree in psychology from UOP here in town. Like, she's smart, she's funny, she's witty, she's easygoing. She lets me be me. She puts up with me. She's gracious, you know. And I'll say this, I'm good. Like, I love my wife well. I serve her, spoil her. You know, like, we're good to each other. I would put her up with any wife out there. And I'm sure she would say I'm just as good as any husband out there. But it is not new. I'm confident of that. But I promise you this, and I say this with more confidence, it is not nearly enough to fulfill my soul being married to my wife. It just, and we had to work through that. Like, you're letting me down. I love you with all my heart, but you're constantly letting me down. I'm letting her down. I'm not gentle enough. I don't, you know, like, say sweet nothings and whatever the case might be. But we can't look to this thing to fulfill us that will never fulfill us. That is why we get our heart broken, right? Because Jesus is the lover of our soul. He's the only one that can really fulfill us and give us our heart's contentment and joy. So the three things, identity, which Pastor Tim hit on, Pastor Christian hit on. If you don't know who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and all that you've been given, you're literally going to expect to get it from another person. You guys catch that? If you don't know who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and all you've been given, all those expectations will fall on some other individual or some other 18 or 15. And you go from one to the next. Well, they just didn't live up to that standard. They didn't live up to that one. I didn't get what I wanted out of it. It's never enough. The number one thing in, like, dating or whatever you do to pursue marriage is you have to know who you are in Christ, and your identity has to be rooted in Christ. So I'll say this. If that's something you're still working out, seeking through, developing, figuring out, you don't know, you're not ready to date. Like, you're just going to be let down all the time. And it's not to say, like, we're perfect when we get married, but there should be a rooting as believers that you know who Jesus is. You know that you can't expect someone to fulfill all the desires of your heart and to allow or to think in your mind that they could ever could.
And I would just add to that, that you'll also be letting that person down. Like, if your identity is not rooted in Christ, not only will that other person let you down, but you'll constantly be, you know, through putting expectations on that person, you'll be letting them down as well.
Yep. We got to wrap up real quick. So 5 minutes. So identity one, I think we've covered that. Pastor Tim did an amazing job. So I'll just remind you in case you didn't catch it. You belong right now as singles. You belong. You are called. You're approved. You're loved. You're accepted. Jesus died for you. So that's, I mean, literally at the very, so again, I'm not saying it's this super spiritual state you get in before all of a sudden you're ready for marriage. No one's typically ready for marriage when you get married. So we're honest about that. But this is like at the very core level, church, I promise you, If you just can know the love of your Savior, you can be accepting of his grace. It's not your merit or work, but that Jesus loves you and he is enough. That will take you leaps and bounds in protecting your heart, one, but in also just dating well, so to speak. Like, if that's what we have to do to get married, like, unless your parents are arranging it or there's some other way you find, if you can just remember the gospel, right? Like Pastor Tim talked about, like, so all of life is the gospel. So why would dating be any different? Amen? If all of life is the gospel, then every relationship should be influenced by the gospel, everything we do, everywhere we go. Boundaries and expectations. So that's identity. The next is boundaries and expectations, which we hit on. We'll never live up to the expectation. So don't plan on it. Don't think you're going to find this amazing person that makes you feel so great, maybe for a season, but forever. Come on, like, for the rest of your life, like, literally, there's no one that could ever do it. So boundaries. This is a good one, right? This is probably one that everybody wants to know about. How far is too far when you're dating and all that stuff? This book, he makes some pretty extreme cases. Read it for yourself. It's healthy. It's, you apply it to your own life. I'll be humbled to say, like, I mean, I tell Aaron, who's our administrative assistant at the office, and, like, Caleb, like, God bless them for the way that they've been able to strive for purity, so to speak, in their relationships and the grace of God in their lives. That, to me, I'm like, there's no way I could have ever did that. Like, even, like, we made it, so to speak, like, we still fell short, often made blatant choices to sin, whatever the case might be. So, like, but it is, like, some sort of, like, you have to have boundaries, right? We have three kids. We have a rose bush in front of our house. Literally, one of their favorite things to do is to go up to the thorns in the rose bush and all take turns poking it until one of them gets hurt. I'm not kidding. Like, they literally will go up and they're just like, okay, I did it. Now you do it. They're 5, 4, and 3 right now. So, like, they're poking it. You know, we're busy, I know. And literally poking it. Like, they know. They, all three of them have at one point fallen into it playing outside. So, like, they know it hurts. They know there's pain. But this is what, literally, every day they walk up and poke at it. I feel like that's how we are with sexual sin. Like, we know it hurts. There's women and men here that have literally, probably more women, spent weeks crying in their room over some guy that broke their heart or played with their emotions and took part of her physically that they made all these promises didn't keep. Can I get it? Has that happened to any women or men even? Like, have you been heartbroken? But literally, that's not the sad part. The sad part is not that they got their heart broken. Yes, it's sad. The sad part is they do the exact same thing with the next person they date. There's men who say, like, I want to follow Jesus. I want to treat this woman well. I want to do this, right? There's no measures in place whatsoever to actually strive to not fall into a sexual sin or to put themselves in not tempting situations. So I think that element is kind of covered in community, but I have to say this, like, if you are constantly putting yourself in a position to fail, eventually you will fail. Because we're just not strong enough. Like, I don't care what anybody thinks or says, like, or how good of a person they are, or low libido, or testosterone levels, whatever the case is, we were designed a certain way. And when you put 1 + 1 = 2, like, we're just not strong enough. Can we agree? So there's got to be measures and boundaries in place. I'm not going to go into, you know, there's wisdom, yes. But if you're putting yourself in position to fail, you're ultimately going to fail. Community, Amanda's going to share 2 minutes. This is my favorite part of our story, is the community aspect and what the Lord's allowed us to do and be a part of.
I might take 3. Anyhow, Chris and I have had the blessing to, since before we were married and he was living in our house, just really have an amazing, unique experience of just always being involved in a community of singles. Just having them over at our house all the time doing life has just been a very special thing from the Lord in our lives. And so we wanted to just kind of share some of the wisdom that we've been able to just kind of glean from that experience. As far as community goes, I'm sure we all know that we're referring to a Christian community. So a community of believers whose fruit in their lives has demonstrated gospel change and are people that you can trust to walk alongside you and keep you accountable and do life with you. So I would encourage all of you singles to seek it out. Sometimes it happens in an amazing, organic, natural way. And you know those are people that the Lord has put on your path to walk through singleness with you. And sometimes you need to seek it out. And in a really great place to find that is in community groups, because relationships, really genuine, good relationships, really are formed there. So I would encourage you all to get involved in that and to ask if you desire that. I know a lot of times it's like, I literally don't know where to start. I literally don't have anyone in my life where I can even start accountability or doing life with them. And I'm telling you, if you just ask someone at this church to plug you up with people, it can happen. I promise you. So I encourage you to do that. As far as community goes, I think that one really important aspect is transparency in community, because you can be in community, you can be dating another person, and you guys can be doing it in group settings or in a transparent in a community environment. But if you're not transparent, then you're not going to see the fruit of that. You're not going to really get like the full experience. And one thing that the Lord taught me when Chris and I were dating was just the amazing healing and forgiveness from the Lord that you can feel within community, especially when it comes to transparency. I'll just share a quick story. When Chris and I were dating, I remember on the way up to a women's retreat, I was talking with a friend, a woman who was discipling me, whose home that I had gone to. We did community group at her house, and her husband really mentored Chris and I. And again, just a really organic experience of community. We were in their community group, so I just went over before community group and I cooked dinner with her. And so I was able to kind of get some wife training, cause I didn't know how to cook at all. But also that was a place where I could talk about our relationship and get accountability and work things out, and in a safe place that I could say, you know what, I don't know like this about Chris, this is freaking me out. I don't know, like, should I marry him? Like, is this a big enough deal? And I could really work those things out with somebody that I trusted and knew was going to disciple me in the Lord. But that to say, we were on our way up to a women's retreat, me and this woman, and I can't remember, but I lied. I lied about something to do with my past. And I told her like one thing, but it was really another. And when I got up to the retreat, the Lord really, like, the Spirit was really speaking strongly to me and was like, you're totally lying right now. And the Lord put the verse on my heart of Colossians 2:18, which says, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels. So really just that, let no one cheat you of your reward. To be in community and to not be transparent and to not really do life in community and be honest about your struggles and your past and what you're dealing with and your relationship, if you're dating, is to really deny like what Christ did on the cross for us, that he's nailed all of our sin and brokenness and that will never be perfect. So that said, community is essential in dating. It's hard to have a successful dating relationship without community, or even marriage or life in general. It doesn't work. So.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think Tim covered it well, Pastor Tim, in the singleness, in the necessary, like, belonging community. But as far as dating, we have had the incredible privilege of seeing, you know, for us, the honor to see people get married that have like spent their time in our community, in our house. We had an intern live with us. Deacon Matt Eck's wife, Amanda Eck, lived with us while they were dating and engaged. And, you know, she lived with a couple other families. And so, like, we've seen, you know, Dave in Boston and Tina. Dave practically lived with me for a long time. Both dating and single people, like, being able to do, like Tim said, and open your home and have that accountability, you know, for Aaron and Stephanie, not to put them on the spot, like, literally have access to my front room that we rarely use so they can be alone without being alone. Like, it's drastic measures. If, like, we really want to do this well, it's not, you know, and it takes more than just the couple. Like, it takes the community. And so even if you're not dating right now, but, like, being willing to, you know, third wheel or spend time with couples that are dating, because we want to see everybody be successful in this and be fruitful in this, and to have a season of singleness or a season of dating before marriage that, you know, we can say, like, look back and see the fruit from it, from the harvest, so to speak. And so tons of, you know, stories that we could share with people that we've allowed to be in our home. And it's been amazing for us, and we've been blessed by it. But, you know, they've got a ton of uncles and aunts now, our kids, that they can look to. I have babysitters and access to that kind of stuff. So it's a blessing both ways. The one thing about communities that literally, it's like the Aaron story, I'm sorry, about just holding us up. Like, it literally, like, we hold each other up in community. Like, we do everything we can to make sure and to not allow our brother or sister to fall. And I think that's the important element of community. To wrap it up, where do we go from here? You know, super brief, the whole day kind of, so to speak, for some of you that are young, single, desiring dating, old, single, never want to date again, whatever, wherever we're at. The encouragement I would have for singles, and that I can see both positive and negative fruit in my marriage, I'm sure the other pastors and people, married people, can attest to, is we reap what we sow. I mean, that's biblical, right? Like, you look at our current season right now, we've had a crazy drought, right, in California. What does that yield? What is the drought? What happens? It's like we just have a hot summer. So what happens because we're in a drought right now? Do we have any farmers? Maddox will tell you, like, probably going to have a poor harvest. So because of the current season we're in now, fall and winter for farmers and for our agriculture, which affects our economy, are all going to be affected because of this season. I would say that's you. So whether you're all single right now, so whether you're dating, you're still single, this season and what is sown in this season, you will reap. That's not a heavy, it's not like a bad thing. That's a positive. That's a glory to God that this season he will use for his glory. Whether that ends in marriage for you, whether that ends in ministry, whether that ends in you just being a Christian that's proclaiming the gospel in the city of Stockton, Modesto, Lodi, wherever you're from today, this season counts. This isn't a season that's like, oh, like, I'm just living until I get married, or until I get the job that I don't have to get married, or I become a missionary across the sea and I don't have time for a spouse. And then lastly, for those that do want to get married, I'm an athlete, or was at least, I'm not anymore. If you desire to be something, just really practical, you know, there's a multitude of wisdom, like in the multitude of counsel, there's wisdom. I can't think of anything or anybody. Sarah Franklin, who's one of our UOP students for a long time, like, just wants to be a dentist. She's in pre-dental school. She works at a dentist office right now, like, even though she can't do anything dental. So she does admin stuff. But if you desire to be a good husband, you should be spending time with husbands. Like, that, if you want to be a good wife, or you desire that, like, there should be some element of gleaning wisdom from older women. I think for young singles addressing, typically, we just don't want to put ourselves in that situation where we spend time with older people who are different and they're weird now because they're out of touch. They don't know what it's like to be us and to be 25 and I'm 31. God forbid, we're so much older. Literally, you hear things like this. Like, the number one reason, like, other than God's grace and his faithfulness to me, just really practically, that I know how to love and serve my wife today, is because I had a father who I spent time with that loved and served his wife, and I had two role models that were older than me. One is my sister's husband's dad, actually, and then my youth pastor, who's that family that she talked about, where I made her take cooking lessons so that way she could learn how to cook. She was getting her master's, you know, it's different. She was chasing other things. Yeah. As I gleaned wisdom, I saw it with my own eyes. Like, I saw the example, like, it was right before me. Like, God forbid any of these young guys that we allow in our house be a bad husband or father. Like, they're going to fail because I fail all the time. But we'll be there, right? Like, they'll have an example that's set before them that says, like, love the Lord God with all your heart, might, and strength, and seek his understanding, and make the season count. Like, as an athlete, that's what I'm going to say. Make it count. Like, don't look back on your singleness and be like, eh, weird phase, hated it, no fruit, nothing. I was just single. Right? Like, that's lame. Like, God ordained you for such a time as this. Amen? Yeah. We love you guys. You want to close?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to close now. Pray with me. Jesus, thank you again for who you are today. Thank you for what you're doing, for what you're accomplishing. Thank you for this group of people here today who want to declare their singleness a gift from you and a season from you, and they want to produce much fruit because of it. So we ask that your spirit would continue to minister to these individuals to go their separate ways, Lord, that they would be surrounded by your truth and in community, and God, that this season would count for your kingdom and for the glory of God, that they would say that their singleness was a season that they served well. And so we love you, God. We thank you for this ability and opportunity to do this today and to equip and encourage one another, Lord. Even as a married man, I was so encouraged today by the teaching and just the word and conversations. And we just love you. You are so worthy of everything we have, Lord. And we want the full baptism, as Christian talked about. We don't want to hold on to things or keep things out. We are wholly yours today. So we praise you, we love you, God, and thank you for all you're doing and all you've done in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Reality Stockton podcast. If you have been blessed by this ministry, please consider giving financially. For more information on how to give, please visit our website at realitystockton.com.